Hello and welcome to another edition of Radio Goethe. I'm Arndt Peltner. In this show, I'm always trying to bring you mostly a different kind of music. Music that cannot necessarily be heard on commercial radio stations or that you can find in the charts of the German-speaking countries. So I'm glad that you stay with me and that you're open for what's to come. Today I'm focusing on Daniel de Picciotto and Alexander Hacke. Together they are Hacke de Picciotto. They have just released their latest album called The Silver Threshold. It's their first on Mute Records. A big step forward for this duo. Daniel de Picciotto is an artist, an author, a musician, and she had founded with Dr. Motte way back the Love Parade in Berlin. Alexander Hacke is a member of the Einstürzen Neubauten since 1980, an author and producer. So lean back and delve into the musical world and work of Daniel de Picciotto and Alexander Hacke.
Hi, this is Daniel de Picciotto.
And Alexander Hacke. And together we are
Hacke de Picciotto.
When we were confined to our studios by the pandemic, we started writing immediately. That was in August, September 2020. And finally, we got to record it in a recording studio in Berlin-Kreuzberg with engineer Victor van Vugt. So we had pretty much the written and arranged material, and every day we traveled with a car sharing service from Wedding in the north of Berlin to the southeast of Berlin, to Kreuzberg, in order to record it there. That was in December 2020. And then after we did a residency over the holidays in Brandenburg, we returned to the studio and mixed it there with Victor and finished doing that like the second week of January 2021.
I think my favorite song on our new album is Meeresstille. It's going in a direction which we haven't really gone yet, kind of a mixture of new music, classic, and drone, which I think is interesting. The lyrics are by Johann Wolfgang Goethe, a German poet. And I like the atmosphere. It's a mixture of kind of nature and classic violin sounds mixed with a kind of odd rhythmic singing that we do. And I don't know, it's just somehow, I think it's, I really like it. It captures a really odd kind of maybe almost creepy atmosphere that I like.
Thank you.
Oh, for us being locked down in one place wasn't all that bad. It was actually quite motivating and inspiring also in a way, because we really had to concentrate on our artistic output. It gave us a chance to immerse ourselves into the actual work, as there was no travel involved, no schlepping of equipment, no sound checks, no nothing. No checking in airports and negotiating weights of our suitcases and stuff like that. So we could just go to the studio every day, sit down and do what we like doing best, which is writing and playing music. So for us, it was actually quite good and quite a positive circumstance in order to write music.
The third song on our album, which I like very much, is a song called Babel. And it has lyrics that I wrote, which I've been which I had in my mind for quite some time. I was not raised religiously, but I have these biblical stories lately in my mind. I think we're living in a kind of biblical time where all these biblical things are happening. And ever since the pandemic, I've been thinking about the story of Babel, where people tried to build a tower to reach God, and they did it in a way that God said, "No, you're not far enough yet to come to heaven," and he kind of threw them apart and made them not understand each other. And not being able to understand each other kind of really is a huge problem, because especially nowadays we have things like the pandemic or you know, the climate change, where we actually all have to pull together the same thing, and instead we're just becoming more and more complicated and fighting more and more. So this song, Babel, is about that state, about being thrust apart instead of getting together. And I think it's something that we should all think about.
If you nourish and support each other, you yourselves shall become the tower and touch the heavens you seek.
Well, we found each other as partners first, and then we started playing music together. We fell in love with each other around 2001, and we did various projects together in those early years, but they were more like audio visual performances where I would play music and Danielle would do visual artistic things. And it kind of culminated and changed and developed into this partnership where we actually write and play music together as equal partners on stage and in the studio. And it took us a little time to actually find our voice. In a way, we tried different approaches, different strategies of writing and performing the music. And the way we do it now, pretty much in a improvised way, where we bounce off each other's intuitions, that seems to be the most effective and the best way of working together.
For me, I have done music since the early 90s, actually even late 80s. And I had a lot of bad experiences, especially with guys, because they always gave me the feeling that they were very important and I wasn't. And they criticized me a lot and made me very insecure. I have an education in classic music. I started playing piano when I was 5 and started taking violin lessons when I was 10. And I feel very strong in that area, but in the area of rock music, I didn't really know how it works at the beginning, so I was pretty insecure. And after my band Space Cowboys disintegrated in 1995, I decided that unless I find somebody that makes me feel okay and doesn't discriminate me when we do music, I'm not going to do music with a guy anymore. So when Alex and I got together, we automatically started working together because both of us are just always working on some projects. Originally, I was doing visuals and he was doing the music because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do music with yet another man. I was doing music with Gudrun Gut, and I was doing electronic music with her in between. But after working with Alex for a couple of years, I realized that he is one of the few men that I had encountered that didn't have an ego problem in music, and that that was capable of working together with a woman without kind of trying to make her seem smaller than him. And so I started daring to compose music with him. And at the beginning, we weren't sure what direction we were going to go to. So we tried out all kinds of different things until after about 5 or 6 years, we slowly found what we were best at. And of course, it's not easy being together with somebody 24 hours a day privately and working together, but we've kind of learned ways over the years and how to evade landmines, especially by having a lot of emphasis for the other's emotions and needs, and listening a lot, and trying not to only think about oneself. I mean, it's, you know, it's always filled with compromises and all these different things. But on the other hand, we also have an instinctive feeling about what we really like, which is similar, which helps, of course. Even though we do have very many differences in taste, basically, when we do something together, both of us know if it's good or not. So it's a mixture of all kinds of things. And it's interesting because we both know that we would not be able to do what we're doing now alone, either of us. So doing it together helps us achieve something larger than ourselves, which is nice. It helps you develop. Composing music for us depends on different factors. I mean, sometimes we have a theme and then we work through that theme. For instance, being nomads was the theme for a long time. Sometimes we have a musical idea. Sometimes one of us has, you know, a percussion idea, or I have an idea with a violin melody, or I have a lyric. It really depends. With every song, it's different. We're very flexible with that. We don't really like rules that much, or regulations. And to be honest, after we've done a recording, I don't really know how it happened. It's somehow very instinctive, especially when we work together in the studio. We kind of bounce things off. And one of the reasons I love working with Alexander is because I never know what he's going to do. He's completely unpredictable. And in that way, it's always a surprise how it ends up. We have one rule, though, and that is that each one of us only does things that he or she is best at. So nobody tries to do something which isn't their strength. And ever since we've put up that rule, our music has become stronger and stronger.
You're listening to Radio Goethe. Today it's all about Hacke de Picciotto, that is Daniel de Picciotto and Alexander Hacke. Their music can be found on Bandcamp.
Time.
The track I would like to point out of our new album, The Silver Threshold, is Trebus. Trebus was the name of the place where we did our artist residency between recording the album and mixing it. And what I really like about Trebus is a certain instrument that Danielle plays. It's called a zurna. And we always argue about whether it is a flute or a clarinet. Or an oboe. She says it's a flute. I say it's an oboe. And the thing about a zurna is it really is the loudest instrument I have ever heard. And Danielle says that's kind of remarkable, as I am a member of Einstürzende Neubauten and we are known to be loud. I can assure you, if you ever experience anyone playing a zurna right next to you, you will be shocked and speechless. So this is Trebus.
I've always been interdisciplinary from the very start. For me, it seems natural because, you know, when you live, you have ears and you have a nose and you have eyes. So why shouldn't all of these different senses also be busy artistically? And I usually instinctively decide if I want to do a painting or a song or write something. For instance, if I wrote a book, a graphic novel about our nomadic years, it happened after we had recorded an album on the nomadic years, where I had written lyrics for the album and for the book. So it somehow always belongs together. I usually have a specific theme for a couple of years. And before, for instance, from 2001 to 2010, it was the underground. So I drew a lot of burlesque dancers and I wrote a lot of lyrics about the underground. And then from 2010 to 2020, it was our nomadic lifestyle. What is a home? You know, what does it mean to be a nomad? And all of these things I try expressing in the different realms. So it's kind of like a merry-go-round, and it's always one sense. I get on and then I get off and I get onto the next one. So it's, yeah, it's very instinctual.
Thank you.
That was today's Radio Goethe with a focus on Hacke de Picciotto. I hope you liked this special show. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and of course at radiogoethe.org. Tschüss, I'm Arndt Peltner.